Welcome to the Jason Podcast. I'm Josie Briggs, Editor-in-Chief of the Journal of the American Society of Nephrology. Each month, we talk about work in the current issue with the hope that the conversation will prompt you to turn to the October issue, which should now be in your mailbox, or to go to our website. This month, I want to draw your attention to an important paper on the topic of sex differences in the process of care of the kidney patient. And I'm delighted to have with me today Dr. Juan Jesus Carrera, Professor of Kidney Epidemiology at the Karolinska Institute. Dr. Carrera has published extensively on gender issues in kidney disease, and so I'm pleased to have his expertise in talking about this important topic. Dr. Carrera, thank you for joining us.
Glad to have this opportunity.
So, Juan, you're the senior author on the paper we're focusing on today. The title is Sex Differences in the Recognition, Monitoring, and Management of Chronic Kidney Disease in Healthcare. The authors with you on this work are Dr. Swartling, Yang, Place, Fu, Heckling, Hudler-Moser, Troll, Lageros, Evans, and yourself. Your study focuses on healthcare delivered in Stockholm. To get us started, can I ask you to give our listeners a brief introduction to the data resources that you've pulled together about healthcare in this setting in order to make these complex analyses?
Of course. This study was based in the Stockholm Creatinine Measurements Project, the acronym is SCREAM. The SCREAM project is a linkage of more than 40 different data sources of healthcare information from our citizens in Stockholm. The region of Stockholm has a population of about 2.4 million people and a single unified health system with universal healthcare access. In SCREAM, we have gathered information of every single diagnosis that has been issued in primary, outpatient, or inpatient care, every single laboratory measurement of creatinine or albuminuria order, for instance, and for example, because medication fields in Swedish pharmacies are linked to each citizen's personal identification number, with permission from the Swedish government, we could collect each and every single drug that has been dispensed at the pharmacy. Then we have a lot of other things like attained education, employment, income, pregnancies, and much more that we have not yet even been able to explore.
These resources are really enviable. We have in the U.S., I think, very strong resources through the USRDS and SRTR to look at outcomes for kidney failure patients. But really nothing like this to get at the actual processes of care. So our reviewers for this paper were really told us that you had incredibly important data on care of CKD patients and I strongly agree. So let me ask you to first of all tell our listeners what are your principal most important findings.
With pleasure. In what we did in this study was to evaluate the indicators of nephrology care among adults who had their first detected eGFR below 60 milliliters per minute in primary care, just to see how the guideline recommendation process was followed. The first finding that we had is that there were very low rates of recognition, and by that we mean issuing a clinical diagnosis, very low rates of monitoring of creatinine and albuminuria over time, and very low rates of referral to nephrology or use of antiproteinuric medication. This panorama is not exclusive of Stockholm and parallels, unfortunately, other health systems worldwide, but perhaps our data granularity could offer more precision. The findings for example, people with eGFR less than 30, as you point out, are worrisome. Among patients with detected CKD stages 4 to 5, only 25 to 30% receive a diagnosis of kidney disease in the next 18 months. And also only 15 to 13% visited a nephrologist. This probably could improve.
Right. As a nephrologist, let me interrupt you. As a nephrologist, it is these findings in the low or advanced stage CKD that I found most striking. So keep going and tell us about the gender differences you found.
Yes. The second and surprising finding for me is that at all levels of EGFR, albuminuria, age, or underlying conditions, women scored worse. Women were less likely to receive a diagnosis compared to men, less likely to be referred to the nephrologist to be monitored or to start adequate medication. First, I thought this must have been an error in our data, and I asked my colleague Oscar to repeat the analysis 3 times. But then after 3 repetitions, I had to believe that perhaps there was something true. For example, we observed that among women, persons with diabetes, women were 30% less likely to have albuminuria measured every year. Among persons with diabetes and albuminuria A3, women were 40% less likely to receive RAS inhibitors. And among persons satisfying KDIGO criteria for referral, women again were 42% less likely to visit a nephrologist. It is true, if you look at the table 1 of our paper, that women were somewhat healthier than men, but the clinical guidelines we have in place right now have very clear indications in high-risk groups that do not make any distinction by sex.
Right. These are both the gender differences and, in fact, the overall failure to have guideline-delivered care, very striking findings. We have an editorial accompanying your paper by Drs. Allison Reeves and Andrew Levy. I want to quote them. Swartling et al. Highlights stark disparities in CKD care between men and women. While these differences were observed in a Swedish population, we do not have reason to believe these differences are unique. And indeed, we all think of Scandinavian healthcare as a model, and many outcome measures it is. But what these numbers tell us is that kidney care is far from optimum, and that particularly for women. And that this is seen even in a well-resourced, well-insured population like this.
I agree.
Let's talk a little more about the need for some nuance in thinking about these and what these data tell us about the communication that's happening between the primary care doc who's providing most of this care and the specialist. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's difficult to make everything black and white. In our study, we measure how primary healthcare physicians followed guideline recommendations, but I can imagine that some contexts may affect their decisions. For example, some patients may be too sick or at the end of their life, so that a low EGFR deserves an action. Or conversely, an otherwise healthy 75-year-old patient with an EGFR of 50 may be considered to have just the right kidney function for his or her age. But surely these cases cannot explain the extreme low rates of nephrology care that we observe in our study, and even less the consistent and striking differences that disadvantage women. I think that our findings call for a stronger interaction between nephrologists and primary healthcare physicians to early detect and to adequately manage these patients. And it brings attention to an issue of sex inequality that may have not been perceived before. Of course, it requires confirmation in other healthcare systems, but if this is true, we need to understand why it is happening. Some healthcare systems have successfully implemented triggering or decision support systems to facilitate the process of the doctors. Tools like the KFRE equation are becoming now accessible in many parts of the world to guide clinical decisions. It would seem that we are on the right track, but yet, as this study shows, there are many opportunities for improvement, both in absolute terms and in providing an unbiased care equal to all.
Well, Dr. Guerrero, I really congratulate you on a very strong and important piece of work. I hope this prompts our discipline to think more about how to communicate the unmet need to more effectively meet challenges. Indeed, challenges in care of people with kidney disease of both genders, but the gender disparities are of a surprisingly large magnitude. So again, congratulations, and look forward to further work from you and your colleagues on these important issues. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for exposing our work.
This podcast is copyrighted by the American Society of Nephrology. All rights reserved. All content in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. This podcast should not be used in a medical emergency or for the diagnosis or treatment of any medical condition. Please consult your doctor or other qualified healthcare professional if you have any questions about any medical condition or before taking any drug, changing your diet, or commencing or discontinuing any course of treatment. Thank you for listening to this podcast from the American Society of Nephrology.